Welcome back, everyone. Today, we're going to be taking a deep dive into last chance agreements, or LCAs, you know, those kind of high stakes contracts that can really, I guess, make or break an employee's future at a company. And we've got some great source material today from actual labor arbitrators, the folks who often end up making the final decision in these situations.
Yeah, it's really interesting how LCAs represent, you know, this crucial point in the whole relationship between like employer and employee. It's a formal agreement, usually involving a union if one exists, that gives the employee one final shot to fix a specific issue and keep their job.
So it's kind of like that one strike and you're out thing, but with a chance to turn things around. What would be some examples of the types of situations where these agreements might come up?
Well, I think some of the common ones would be like chronic attendance problems, insubordination, or violations of safety protocols. Those are issues that, you know, in normal circumstances could easily lead to termination. We've also seen LCAs used in cases that involve things like substance abuse or harassment in the workplace.
Yeah, those are some pretty serious issues for sure. But our source material also mentioned something kind of interesting. Sometimes LCAs are used even when there are doubts about the case against the employee, like, say, if the witnesses aren't reliable. So why would an employer go the LCA route in those scenarios?
That's a great question. I think it really comes down to risk management on the employer's part. By using an LCA, they can potentially avoid getting bogged down in legal battles or some kind of drawn-out dispute later on, right? Imagine a scenario where there is evidence against an employee, but it's not really rock solid, but the employee's behavior is still a concern. The LCA gives the employer a clear way to address the issue while minimizing the chance of a wrongful termination lawsuit, which, let's face it, can be very costly and time-consuming for a company.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. It's almost like a safety net for both the employer and the employee in a way. You know, the source material also points out that LCAs can have benefits for all parties involved, which on the surface seems a little counterintuitive. How can a situation that's essentially a last chance be beneficial?
Right. It's all about perspective, I think. You know, the employee obviously gets a chance to stay employed, which is a huge benefit. The employer gets to keep someone who might be a really valuable asset to the company. And they also avoid the costs and disruptions of having to go out and hire and train someone new. And then from the perspective of the workplace as a whole, an LCA can bring more clarity and structure. You know, it has the potential to improve trust and create a more positive environment.
Okay, so now we have a better understanding of, like, what an LCA is and all the different circumstances that might surround it. But what about the actual agreement itself? Like, what should people be looking for in terms of the content of the LCA, the actual language and the terms?
I think the most important thing is clarity. The language in an LCA needs to be absolutely crystal clear. It has to very specifically spell out exactly what behavior is expected, what the consequences are if the agreement is violated, and what the time frame is for meeting those expectations. You know, it's about setting very clear expectations right from the start.
So no vague language, no loopholes. It sounds like dotting your I's and crossing your T's is pretty critical here. Now, what about support or resources for the employee? Should that be part of the LCA as well?
Absolutely. If an employee is dealing with something like substance abuse, for example, you know, just telling them to stop using isn't likely to be very effective, is it? So a well-crafted LCA is going to outline what kind of support or resources are available to help the employee really get to the root cause of the issue. This might include things like counseling, rehab programs, or even just access to those employee assistance programs that a lot of companies offer.
Right. That's a really good point. It shifts the focus from simply punishing the employee to actually giving them the tools and the support they need to, you know, to really get back on track.
Exactly. It's about giving them a real chance to improve and succeed. Now, another thing that's brought up in our source material is these confidentiality clauses, which can sometimes be a tricky area.
Yeah, I can see how that would be a very sensitive topic. Why would a confidentiality clause be included in an LCA? And what are some of the potential problems?
It makes sense that employers would want to keep certain matters confidential, especially when you're talking about sensitive issues like employee performance or conduct. But you don't want a confidentiality clause that's so restrictive that it actually prevents an employee from getting help or from exercising their rights. It's about finding the right balance between protecting the company's interests while also, you know, ensuring the well-being of the employee.
Okay, so we've talked about the purpose of an LCA, what it might include, and some potential pitfalls to watch out for. But now I want to shift gears a bit and look at it from the perspective of that labor arbitrator. What are the key things that they're looking for when they have to review an LCA? What are those most important factors?
Well, you have to remember that the arbitrator is coming into the situation with a very, very limited view. They only know what the parties involved choose to show them. It's like they're trying to put together a puzzle with only a few pieces, right? Yeah. To make a fair decision, they really need to have all of the relevant information.
That makes a lot of sense, yeah. So what would be some things that the parties should be sure to communicate very clearly to the arbitrator? What information is going to be the most important for them to have?
Well, first and foremost, the employee's history. That's absolutely crucial. The arbitrator needs to understand the context that led to the LCA in the first place. You know, what happened? Were there previous attempts to address the issue? What's the employee's overall track record been like? They also need to know how the LCA itself was established. Were there discussions beforehand? Was it negotiated? Were there any unique circumstances surrounding it?
So it's about giving the arbitrator the full picture of the situation, like all the background they need.
Exactly. And then you have to look at the specifics of the LCA itself. What exactly are the conditions the employee has to meet? What happens if they don't meet those conditions? And very importantly, what exactly is the scope of the arbitrator's authority in this particular case? All of those details are going to matter a lot.
So it's like laying out the rules of the game. Everyone knows what to expect going in. What about the alleged offense itself? Does the arbitrator need a lot of detailed evidence to actually make a decision?
Well, that's where things can get really interesting. And often really complex. The burden of proof lies with the employer, right? They need to present solid evidence that the employee actually violated the terms of the LCA. But it's not always a simple open and shut case. Sometimes the terms of an LCA might be open to interpretation, and the arbitrator has to kind of step in and decide whether or not the employee's actions actually qualify as a violation.
It's not just about whether they did something or didn't do something. There's a whole element of judgment involved. So if you're an employee and you're in this situation, it sounds super important to make sure you really understand what you're agreeing to and what specific actions could actually be considered a violation.
You got it. And it gets even more complicated when you bring in the just cause standard that's often baked into employment contracts, especially when you're talking about a union environment.
Okay, so for those of us who aren't, you know, labor law experts or whatever, can you explain what that just cause standard actually means?
Sure. So just cause basically means that an employer needs a legitimate job-related reason to terminate an employee. It protects employees from being fired arbitrarily or for reasons that don't have anything to do with their job performance. You know, the idea is that you shouldn't be able to just fire someone because you don't like them or because of their personal beliefs. Mm-hmm. The termination has to be justified, right? And it has to be related to their work.
So how exactly do LCAs fit into that just cause standard? Because it seems like they could potentially clash.
That is a really key question, and that's exactly where things can get really tricky. See, an LCA can actually modify that just cause standard. It might actually specify that violating the agreement, no matter how small the violation, is grounds for termination, even if it wouldn't normally meet that just cause bar.
So even a minor violation of the LCA could be enough to get you fired, even if it wouldn't usually be considered a fireable offense on its own.
Exactly. And that's why it's absolutely critical for both sides to be 100% clear about what the LCA means for the employee's right to that just cause review. If that's not spelled out in detail, it can turn into a major point of contention if things end up going to arbitration.
Wow. It sounds like these agreements can really, really shift the balance of power between employers and employees.
Right. And that actually brings us to another really interesting question that arbitrators often have to deal with. Can an arbitrator actually impose an LCA as a remedy, even if the parties haven't agreed to it?
Hold on. So an arbitrator could basically say, hey, you two, you need to have an LCA, even if the employer and employee haven't agreed to that?
That's the question, and it's not a simple one to answer. You see, while arbitrators have a fair amount of leeway in coming up with remedies in these kinds of situations, they can't just invent new terms or go changing the existing contract that's in place between the parties.
Okay, so for example, if a union contract specifically says that an arbitrator can't impose an LCA, then they can't do that.
Exactly. They might really, really strongly suggest it as a possible solution, but at the end of the day, it's still got to be up to the employer and the employee, and of course the union, if there is one, to actually agree to it.
Yeah, that makes sense. You got to preserve the integrity of the original agreement.
Yeah.
But this whole idea of an LCA being a last chance seems kind of misleading. Our source material hints that sometimes there might be, well, another chance.
Yeah, that's really important, and it speaks to how these agreements actually play out in the real world. Say an employer is being a little bit lenient in how they're enforcing the LCA. Maybe they kind of overlook a small violation, or they give the employee a bit more leeway than the agreement allows for.
So they're trying to be understanding. Maybe giving them a little bit of the benefit of the doubt. What's wrong with that?
Well, while it might come from a good place, you know, that kind of leniency can actually backfire. It can undermine the whole purpose of the LCA. If the employer isn't strictly enforcing the agreement, the employee might start to think that it's not actually their last chance, right? They might think the consequences aren't really set in stone.
I see what you mean. If they end up violating the LCA again, they could argue that it's not really valid because the employer wasn't enforcing it consistently in the first place.
Exactly. And an arbitrator just might agree with that argument. It goes back to that idea of fairness and having clear expectations. If the employer isn't taking the LCA seriously, why should the employee?
Consistency is key. Speaking of fairness, our source material also brings up the whole issue of time limits. Should LCAs have some sort of expiration date? It seems like it shouldn't just hang over the employee's head forever.
Totally agree. The whole point of an LCA is to give an employee that chance to change their behavior, not to punish them indefinitely, right? So a good LCA is going to specify a reasonable time frame. Maybe it's 6 months, maybe a year, maybe even longer, depending on what the issue was and the type of job you're talking about.
Right. It's like a window of opportunity, not some kind of never-ending sentence.
Precisely. Now, there's another important aspect that arbitrators are going to be paying very close attention to, and that is the role of the union. If the workplace has a union, that is.
Okay, so in situations where there's a union involved, how does the union actually factor into this whole LCA process?
The union rep's signature on the LCA, super important. That signature shows that the agreement was reached through the proper collective bargaining process, that the employee's rights were actually protected during the negotiations.
So it adds an extra level of legitimacy and, I guess, oversight to the whole thing.
Absolutely. And you can bet that arbitrators are going to be on the lookout for any attempts by an employer to try and circumvent the union, to pressure an employee into agreeing to an LCA without the union being involved.
So, like, trying to get an employee to sign an LCA without their union rep even being there.
You got it. That kind of behavior, big red flag for an arbitrator. They want to be sure that the entire process was fair, transparent, that it followed the rules set out in that collective bargaining agreement.
Checks and balances, right?
Yep.
Making sure everyone's rights are protected. This has been such a fascinating deep dive into this whole world of LCAs. We've learned so much about what they are, how they work, and, you know, all the key issues that a labor arbitrator would be thinking about.
Yeah. It really shows how complex the dynamics are in the workplace. And how important it is to have clear communication, you know, to enforce agreements consistently and to make sure everyone's being treated fairly, both employers and employees.
Absolutely. But before we wrap things up, I've got one final kind of thought-provoking question for our listeners. Given everything we've talked about, do you think last chance agreements really create a level playing field between employers and employees? Or does one side have a bit more leverage than the other?
It's a really good question, and I think you could argue it both ways, to be honest. There are strong arguments on both sides. You know, some people would say that LCAs offer a safety net for employees who might otherwise lose their jobs altogether. It gives them a chance to fix things and, you know, stay employed.
Right. It's like a second chance, a way to prove they can do the job.
Yeah.
But it also seems like the employee is already starting from a pretty vulnerable position.
Mm.
You know, they're the one being given a last chance. Could that power imbalance lead to an unfair situation?
Yeah, that's a valid concern. That's why having a strong advocate can be so important for the employee, someone like a union rep or even a lawyer. Having someone in their corner, you know, helps to ensure that the terms of the LCA are fair and that the employee's rights are being looked after during the whole process.
It's like having someone there to make sure you're not being taken advantage of, basically. But even with those safeguards, I'm still kind of wondering if these agreements really address the underlying problem. Are they really effective at helping employees make lasting changes, or are they just delaying the inevitable, so to speak?
You hit the nail on the head. In a perfect world, an LCA would be more than just a way to discipline someone. It would provide real support and resources to help the employee address those root issues that caused the need for the LCA in the first place. Like maybe they need counseling or they need access to some kind of training program, anything that helps them get on the right track and succeed.
It's about more than just checking boxes, right? It's about actual growth and improvement for the employee.
Absolutely. But unfortunately, it doesn't always work out that way in reality. Sometimes LCAs are just used as a band-aid, you know, a way to avoid having to deal with those deeper, more complex issues. And that's when things can start to feel ethically, well, a little iffy, you know?
That makes sense. It seems like there's a very fine line between an employer providing legitimate oversight and, you know, kind of crossing over into being too intrusive, too involved in an employee's personal life.
Yeah, for sure. And that brings up a really important question, right? How much information is it okay for an employer to collect or monitor about their employee's behavior, even in a situation where there's an LCA in place? Where do we draw that line between what's necessary for the employer's interests and what starts to become an invasion of privacy?
Tough questions. And, you know, there aren't any easy answers, are there? It sounds like we've just barely scratched the surface of a topic that's super complicated and, you know, full of gray areas.
Definitely agree with you there. LCAs really make you think about a lot of things. And that whole question of the balance of power between employers and employees, well, that's something that's always evolving, right?
Definitely. So listeners, we hope this deep dive gave you a better understanding of last chance agreements, you know, the different people involved in the process, and some of the potential red flags to be aware of.
And remember, if you're ever faced with an LCA, knowledge is power. Do your homework, understand your rights, and don't hesitate to get advice from someone you trust.
Couldn't have said it better myself. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive into the world of LCAs. Until next time, keep learning, keep questioning, and keep pushing those boundaries of your understanding.